Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, thanks. All right, so we're getting to the end of the conference, and hopefully you guys are still engaged and excited about what we have to talk about. And today we're here to talk about building cloud-first enterprise integration solutions with logic apps. That's a really long title. Just remember, enterprise integration and logic apps. Those are the two key things that we want to remember. How many of you are familiar with logic apps? Can you raise your hand? Familiar, great. How many have built a logic app? Okay. How many have a logic app in production? You don't count. Two, three guys, great. How many came to the session on Tuesday with Jeff and Jim? So just a handful of you. Okay, great, so I can create some context so I can start off right. Okay, so today we're gonna talk about logic apps and how to build enterprise integration solutions with it. As an agenda, first we're gonna do is go over logic apps and give you an overview of what logic apps is, some of the solutions that you can do with it. Then we'll dive into some enterprise messaging capabilities, followed by some workflow constructs and get into the kind of dirty details of what's under the covers in a logic app. We'll cover some B2B and covering EDI and AS2 scenarios. And then finally, management tracking and tools and how that works well with logic apps.
Okay. And in case you're wondering, he's Kevin. And I'm
Oh, Bill. Yeah, good point. Yeah, I'm Kevin Lamb. I'm a principal program manager on logic apps. And this is John Fancy, also working on logic apps. He's focusing on the enterprise integration area, and I'm working on the engine of logic apps. Thanks, John. I thought everybody just knew me. Yeah. How many people watch the Logic Apps webcast, Logic Apps Live? No? You should.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll put up a link for that later on at the end of the deck. Okay, so logic apps, the intent is that it can orchestrate anything. We have all of your data and apps have been pushed up to the cloud, and we're trying to better manage how you can manage accessing all that data and applications from an orchestration. So as departments and IT departments think about various clouds or departments are making their own decisions about where data is going to go, you know, we want to make sense of how to access all this data. So you may have some data in Salesforce, some data in Dynamics CRM, some data in Box or SharePoint or in Trello, and think of all these SaaS apps that are out there, and how do I make all those things work together? So logic apps makes it really easy to be able to reach out to all of those services and without having to understand all the intricacies of those APIs and authentication protocols to bring that in with a simple designer. So logic apps can not only reach out to SaaS services up in the cloud, but can also communicate to line of business services on-prem. We have an on-premises data gateway, which acts as our gateway to communicate with these line of business systems. And we work with the various set of line of business systems so we can go directly from logic apps into those line of business systems. Logic apps also has a first-class experience with BizTalk Server. BizTalk Server is our on-prem integration server. We've created a logic apps connector to BizTalk, and so that allows you to have a first-class experience being able to expose receive ports from your BizTalk server into logic apps. How many people use BizTalk Server? I figured a bunch of you, right? So many of you must be thinking about, well, I have BizTalk Server 2010, 2013, 2013 R2, and I'm thinking about either lifting and shifting or migrating to the cloud, or my CTO is telling me I'm not allowed to buy any more infrastructure. What are my options for being able to move up to the cloud? Earlier this week, John had some great sessions about doing logic apps and BizTalk integration scenarios. So we won't cover in the details of those particular integration scenarios, but we do have a first-class experience in being able to integrate those two things. BizTalk Server 2016 has a logic apps adapter, so you can have that nice first-class experience in being able to connect your logic apps up in the cloud, so you can orchestrate up in the cloud and then complete your orchestration down on-prem as it connects to those more classic line of business systems where you want to keep those transactions close to where they're happening. So it's not only about SaaS services that are out there or your line of business systems. You know, everybody's moving to an API-centric world. So you have your own APIs that you've hosted and you created, in, for example, in app services through an API app, a web app, or you hosted somewhere else in some type of web service, or your APIs on-prem. You've invested a lot of time in creating those APIs. And to make sense of that, we have a great product called API Management. And API Management does a nice job in being able to abstract and manage all of those APIs and create a nice facade on top of those and gives you telemetry and rules that you can modify and handle those requests. So, you know, API Management allows you to have that bridge from the cloud onto on-premises as well. You can go ahead and bridge those VNets with APIM. And so from Logic Apps, then it all has this very unified view of everything we talk to is an API, right? We're in an API-centric world. You know, it's either a REST API, you know, on a SaaS service or your own custom REST API on your own service. So connect anything. We have dozens of built-in connectors. So connectors are the representation of the APIs for the SaaS service or for these custom APIs. And what it does is it allows us to go ahead and host and manage them. So all the responsibility is on us for being able to scale those out and for servicing those connectors and being able to version all those connectors. So you don't have to worry about that anymore. You just want to connect to a service. We have a connector for it. You can go ahead and connect to it via one of our connectors. With the connectors that we have that are built-in connectors, you get a first-class experience for being able to interact with those. And I'll show you when I go into the demo that you can go ahead and be abstracted from all those APIs and just work in a nice designer experience. And because you can do that, you have a really rapid development cycle. We've had customers who tell us that, you know, an integration project that could have taken weeks or months are now taking days because it's so easy to do these integrations. So with these connectors, the realization of being able to connect to one is called a connection. That API connection allows you to abstract your authentication and configuration to each of those connectors. And it allows you to have different connections or shared connections. So for example, I can create a connection to Salesforce, and then throughout my Logic App or through many Logic Apps, I can use that same connection to connect to Salesforce. So I authenticate once and then reuse that connection. But there are many times where you want to have different instances or different identities that's talking to one of these endpoints, so you can use multiple connections in your Logic Apps as well. Connections are ARM resources, so that means that it's a first-class Azure resource that can be deployed alongside all of your other Azure resources. Logic Apps is also a first-class Azure resource, so you can create an ARM deployment template that can include your connections, your Logic Apps, your SQL database, your websites, and push all that up in a single ARM deployment template. For API connections, we have a portal experience. You can go ahead and, you know, update your authentication for those connections and browse your connections that you have that you've already created. So as I said, we have dozens of connectors. This is intended to be an eye chart. So here you have about 60 or so connectors. And we're releasing a connector about every 2 weeks. You'll see a few connectors come out. So this is a kind of a never-ending list. Every time I give this presentation, I have to update it quite a bit to keep up with all the connectors that we're releasing. But you'll notice that we have connectors to lots of different types of services. We have connectors to Azure. We have connectors to Office 365 and Dynamics. So those are our first-party ones, but we also connect to Google and Salesforce and Dropbox and Box. And not only do we connect to the SaaS services that are out in the cloud, but we connect to protocols. So our native lingua franca is HTTP and HTTPS, but we also do FTP, SFTP. We can do SMTP with email and RSS, et cetera. We also do XML and EDI, and we'll have a whole section on how to do that type of B2B EAI type of messaging. And hybrid, of course, our connectors can talk to systems on-prem via the same connection mechanism that you're talking to a service in the cloud. So for example, you have a connector for SQL, and that can work against SQL Azure, or it can work against a SQL Server database on-prem. Question?
Available code for the Logic App and the desktop, right? All listed on the right side.
So the question is, are all these connectors available for both Logic Apps and BizTalk? Sort of. So because BizTalk has a connector to Logic Apps and can speak directly to Logic Apps, then it has access to all of these capabilities. So you can extend your BizTalk to talk to a Logic App, which then can then talk to all these services that you see up here. Yes, connector. That's right. So all these are available to Logic Apps today, and you can use them today, and we're having more come out. I asterisked ones, I think, that just were released last week, and we have four or five more that are coming out next week. Okay. So, you know, for many of the enterprise solutions, you have some type of enterprise message bus. We first class service bus as our enterprise message bus. And with Azure Service Bus, it gives you a few capabilities. The first one is the ability to do publish and subscribe messages with topics. So now you can publish a message from Logic Apps and not have to worry about, you know, how to route it to the number of recipients. So for those BizTalk folks out there, you can imagine publishing to a message box, and then you have a bunch of guys subscribe to that message from the message box. So you can do the same now with topics, publish and subscribe. A lot of times you don't want to have to worry about your end system being up. You know, it could either be busy or, you know, be down for a period of time. So a canonical model for that is being able to use a queue to do asynchronous messaging to those systems. So Service Bus allows you to send and receive messages to queues, and then you can be guaranteed that sometime later your backend service will pick up that message from the queue and continue. We have a few read message patterns. So the first one that we've had since we began is autocomplete. So that means when you read a message from a queue or in a topic, we will tell Service Bus that that message is complete, so it's going to be deleted from its queue. But because Logic Apps doesn't lose messages, it actually persists the message with it, that message is never lost. It's always with the Logic App. So that's the autocomplete. But sometimes you want to be able to decide when you want to be able to release that message. For example, if you have a Logic App that's doing a number of steps, and if one of the steps fails, you want to be able to have some compensation logic, right, catch an exception due to compensation logic, and then abandon the message so that another instance or another reader can actually go pick up that message. And then if you actually did successfully complete, then you can manually yourself complete that message, and then the message would be complete, and nobody else can read it because it's done. We've been doing a lot of work on performance in Service Bus, and so you should see high throughput through Service Bus, and as well as immediate triggering. So once that message is dropped into the queue, your service will be able to see that message and react. Your new instance of a Logic App will be triggered. So let's go into a demo. Yeah, let's see what it's about. Seven. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and create a new Logic App. I already have one that's here. So when you first open up Logic Apps, what you'll see is you start off with a number of templates. The templates allows you to have a quick start for some patterns or from services that you want to integrate with, and we're going to continue adding more of these templates to this list and create a nice search experience as well across these templates. So if you don't want to start with one of these templates, you can go ahead and start with a blank Logic App. So the first thing that you see when you create a Logic App is a set of triggers. So a trigger is what instantiates a new instance of a Logic App, and what you see here is our set of triggers. One of the things that, a little note for you guys, one of the things that trips up some folks is that they open the Logic App and look at this trigger list and say, hey, I don't see the connector that I really care about. It's not in this list. So just note that this is a curated list of trigger operations. So it's not every connector will be listed in here. This first list is only showing you the number, the connectors with triggers. So some connectors don't have triggers. So for example, so let's start off with something interesting. So here you can do a recurrence, you can have an HTTP request. I'm gonna start off with a request. So what this does is now it actually opens up an endpoint to my Logic App definition so that people can do a post request, right? It'll give you a URL endpoint and you can do a post request to that endpoint. Now what I wanna do is be able to create a Logic App that reacts off of an alert on VM. So to do that, you know, there's a great article here, and I'll show you what this article is. It's called Configuring a Webhook on Azure Metric Alerts. And what they've done is they've gone through and explained how to do that, but they've conveniently given you a sample message that you can go ahead and consume. So I'm going to go ahead and copy that message. Nice copy button. And jsonschema.net. So one of the things that we want to do is be able to understand the shape of the message that's coming in. So what I want to do is take that sample message and create a schema out of it. And we have a great little tool here from jsonschema.net that will allow me to do that. So I'm going to do that again, make sure I didn't do a typo. Create, and it's going to go ahead and create a schema for me. So this is quite wordy, and you know, this is not really fun to create by hand. So I go ahead and copy that guy. And so what you see here is this request body schema. So if you go ahead and put a schema in there, so I'll go ahead and paste that schema. Now the designer understands the properties that you want to be able to handle as that request comes into the Logic app. So for example, if I can go ahead and say new step, and in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hook this up to an alert from a VM. So anytime a VM has an issue, it's going to fire an alert, and this is the shape of that alert. So what I'm going to do is check the status. So if you see on this left-hand side, because I've added a schema to that message, it's actually tokenized the message. And I want to look for status. So here's status, and check that it's activated. Great. So now that I know that that request is activated, because an alert can come in and say it's activated, it's been deactivated. So I don't want to deal with the deactivated ones. I want to deal with ones that are newly activated. After I do that, I want to be able to ask my operations team or somebody who's responsible for that node. It's like, hey, do you think we need to alert operations that something's happening with this machine? So one of the patterns that I want to show you is that a Logic app has the ability to go make a request out to some system and then wait for a response. And it's not just a simple synchronous request response. You put out a request and it sits there idle until it gets invoked again on that hook back into this instance of the Logic app. So we can do that by going to Office. And Office has a send approval mail. So what that does is that I can now send a message to Office. I'll send it to me, Kevin. .com. And this is my machine. And this is my resource name. Is hot. Let me shut these guys off. I didn't want to do that. Everybody saw what I just did. Okay, it'll come back. It's hot. And continue. Then here I want to say inform ops or ignore. Great. And then you can put a body in here, and here's like as you get into advanced properties. Machine, we called it resource name in region, right? So you have all this data that comes in from the request in region foo is running hot. So now I've you know, in this simple request, I've been able to now send an approval request through Office to ask somebody, you know, what should I do with this alert? I'll go ahead and add another, that's what I want. I'm going to add a condition now that says, well, let's see if that response was inform ops. Then I want to be able to take some action. So in this case, I want to be able to You can do a number of things, right? So you want to be able to either publish to a queue or a topic to because you don't want you want to be abstracted from actually who's going to go respond to that. So you may have a number of other logic apps that are listening to topics that will go ahead and react when that publication event occurs. So I'm going to go ahead and click on Service Bus. Folder Service Bus. Here's another little tip. Since this is a 300 level course, so I want to make sure that you guys are the masters when you go back and you build your own logic apps. You have all the great info about building these things. So you know, as I talked about with the triggers, it's not the full list of connectors in there. So don't be concerned if you don't see the one that you care about. And the same thing is true for actions. This is just a top list of actions, and they're not all listed here. For example, you see Dynamics CRM. Here, if I type in Dynamics, there's only two operations, but it's really not. If I type in Dynamics, you actually see a whole bunch of different operations. So if you don't see the operation you care about, just type it in the filter, and then we'll actually show you the full list of operations that are there. So here I'm going to go to Service Bus, and I want to send a message. Right, so the message content. Okay, let's get into some more meaty stuff. So in Service Bus expects the body of the message to be binary. But we can handle that. We have a full workflow expression language, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. And I'll give you the nitty-gritty details. So, okay, at. Before I do that, I want to show you something in CodeView. So behind the logic app is merely JSON code. So JSON, this is what it gets persisted as. And you can go ahead and save this into your source control and deploy it any way you like. But it's merely all JSON. This is why we can go ahead and create an ARM template with the definition that you have. And this will get persisted along with and deployed along with your messages, with your resources. Let's go back to the designer, and we're going to do it at content. Oh, base64 encode, sorry, at base code. It expects a string, and it's going to be my trigger body. So what that's telling me is I'm taking the trigger body, I'm converting it to a string, and then I'm encoding it into base64, encode base64. I got that backwards, right? I always love doing this on the fly. Okay. So that's it. Now I've published that message. I'm going to go ahead and save it. And encode. Ah, thank you. This is always the fun part about doing stuff on stage. Encode base64 string. What did I do wrong here? Let's not debug this on stage. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you, go back to here, take it out of the oven. And here I have the same logic app where we've done the approval email. I love typos. And it's going to send a message to Service Bus. And then afterwards, it's going to post a message to Slack. So it's going to tell somebody that I have created this, an alert has happened, and it's going to post a message to Slack. And then it gets triggered. So one of the other things that now you want to do is like, hey, I've just created this message. Let's go ahead and see who's going to be a consumer of it. So on the backside, we have the ops alert logic, and you can see here we have the definition that does for pub sub. So in this case, we're going to do a subscribe, and I'm showing you the peak lock capability. So it's going to go ahead and do a peek into that topic. When it gets the message, it will compose it. So we're going to change the structure of that message from the incoming message into another JSON object. We're going to go ahead and create a ticket up in in Salesforce, and then complete that message because we've now completed the message up and pushed it up to Salesforce. So we're going to come back to this demo in a little bit, and I want to continue with John.
Cool.
Bye.
Okay. Let's come back to another topic around enterprise integration, enterprise messaging. A whole bunch of things on this slide. We've really come a long way in the last few months with our capabilities on Logic Apps. So just a few things I want to call out in terms of what you can do. The first one is around the flexibility that we have around message types now. Kevin just kind of showed some of that in the way you can interact with Service Bus. You can kind of convert things to strings. You can Base64 encode them. So we can go backwards and forwards from JSON to binary to XML. We provide all the primitives necessary to be able to do that. So you can work with whatever's coming in over HTTP, convert it to something else. And then push it downstream into one of our connectors and get it in the right shape, whether that's to BizTalk on-premises, as I showed this morning in the session that I did around BizTalk connectivity with Logic Apps, converting to XML or whatever else, just dealing with JSON. So as Kevin showed, we have JSON schema support in that HTTP trigger as well. And of course, we have XSD, so we have XML schema support as part of our enterprise integration features. And that allows you to upload XML schemas and then choose XML schemas when doing validation. And I'll show this in a little bit. And also being able to do conversion using XSLT, so being able to convert XML from one format to another. With including a map of a Visual Studio, you can install this and you can create graphical maps and then upload those to something called an integration account. Which lets you store these assets, schemas, and maps, and whatnot, and then reference those in your Logic Apps and do a bunch of cool things, including one of the things which we're just in the process of adding, and I'm going to show you, is around parameter support for XSLT. So this is like an ask that BizTalk had a while ago, where how can I get kind of contextual data into my map, and we've enabled that through parameter support in Logic Apps. I mentioned validation. The other thing you can do is convert from flat file to XML and vice versa. So again, the flexibility in the content types that we have, you can take a flat file, whether it's CSV, delimited, positional, and convert that to XML and then process it like super critical for things like EDI, and then convert it back again to a flat file and send it out. And the built-in type conversion, as I said, you can go from one format to the other and back again, super easily without any friction. The other thing we have coming really soon is a lot of flexibility in the way we let you process messages. And one of these is a way of being able to decouple senders from receivers or consumers from publishers. And something called batching, which we're introducing soon. And this gives you the ability to publish, essentially you'll send a message to a batch, and then have another Logic App, which essentially is subscribing to that batch. And when that batch release criteria is fulfilled, it'll actually fire that second Logic App. So you can set a specific criteria around message size or time, and then the second Logic App will fire. So you have a nice decoupling between the publisher and the consumer of these batches, and just send messages to a batch and release it, and the Logic App will fire. And again, you can even be more flexible than that and actually flush on demand that that batch as well. We're enabling all of that coming really soon. And then, of course, we have EDI. So this is one of our enterprise integration pack features, which lets you do EDIFACT, X12, AS2 processing on Logic Apps, again, using this integration account for storing artifacts, not just schemas and maps, but certificates as well for doing encryption and signing of data, as well as trading partners and agreements. So you provide the X12 and EDIFACT schemas out of the box, so you can just use those in your integration account and create EDI solutions with Logic Apps. And of course, it leverages our batching capabilities as well, so you can actually batch up things like acknowledgements or whatever you want in transaction sets and then send those out. Okay, one really common pattern with BizTalk particularly was something we call a Vetter pipeline. So this is validate, extraction, transform, enrichment, and routing. So with XML validation, you're referencing a schema from your integration account and checking that the input data is valid against the XML schema. And then we have extraction, we have an XPath function, and this allows you to pull data out of that XML message. It's a polymorphic function, so it actually lets you return a node or a node set, or use a function to return it as a string and work with that data in a logic app. So you can just pull literal values out, whether they're attributes or whatever, and process those or use those for routing decisions. Okay, and the next one we have is Transform. This is XML-based, XSLT Transform, as I mentioned. You have full capabilities to use existing maps. Maybe you're taking them because you have them already from BizTalk or for something else, or you can author those in Visual Studio and consume those from logic apps. And then we have enrichment, the ability to actually compose a message. Kevin will show this in a moment. The ability to actually create a message from a combination of other things. So these are each one of these actions in a logic app, each one of these steps lets you pick data from them. And with the compose action, you can actually create a new message and send that downstream in your logic app and process it and send it off to something else. So a really powerful way of being able to create a message in a logic app as well. Okay, and then finally, routing. So the example Kevin will show is how I take, send messages to Service Bus to a topic, and then I can have multiple subscriptions feeding off that topic and performing more functionality. So, okay, so what does this look like? And my machine's gone to sleep. It's fantastic. Okay, yeah.
Oh, it's not just me.
It's not just you. Right. So one of the things I want to point out in this is that we have a bunch of templates up on GitHub, Azure Quick Start Templates. Kevin mentioned ARM. Who's familiar with ARM? People use ARM? Fantastic. It's one of our best named services. Azure Resource Manager, the way of managing your resources in Azure. Even our logic app, you can create a template in ARM, and it's a deployment vehicle to take one logic app or multiple logic apps and dependencies that you have for that logic app. So instead of just kind of using the designer and creating these things as we've been doing, you can package it up. You can check it into source control. You can manage it. You can version it and deploy it. So we've actually published some quick start templates on our GitHub site to let you get started really quickly with some of these patterns. So if I just type in Veda in here, you can see in the results that I have a Veda pipeline that we published out recently. And there's a whole bunch of documentation, and I can just do deploy to Azure right from GitHub. And this is going to ask me a few questions, like where do I want to put that deployment? So if I just fill this thing out, it's going to whir away for a few seconds. Okay. The first thing I'll call out is that this uses Azure Functions to run the maps. So you have a great sandbox. Some work we're doing will actually hide some of this implementation detail, but also provide some additional capabilities, like being able to run custom code as part of that map. And we can do that through the power of functions and the integration of logic as functions. So if I could type ignite function app, and it's going to create a function name, and I can just close that down, and then I can pick a resource group that I want to put this thing in. And then it's could cost me some money, so I just need to agree to do this, because it's actually doing an ARM template deployment. So I just click that, and I'll pin this to my dashboard, and when I click create, what's happening here is it's taking that ARM template that was in GitHub, and it's deploying it into my Azure subscription. And if all this goes well, in a few seconds, I'll have a logic app sitting here that'll let me open it up and actually be an implementation of that pattern that I just showed you. Okay, here we go. It's nearly there. It's deploying the template. Ah. Oh, that's annoying. It failed. Huh. Let's just have a look. I must have done this 6 times today. Ah, right, I've got a typo. Transform function could not be found. Okay, hang on a second. Let's fix this in a jiffy. So as I mentioned, there's a dependency in Azure Functions here. So you can see here's a resource group I created earlier, and here's a function app, which is what I was trying to refer to. And in this function app, it's got a function that runs the map. Let's open this thing up, and it's telling me that the function's not already there. Come on, let me just go back to GitHub. Oops. Right, where was it? Yeah, it's there. Weird. Let me just give this one more go, because this is going to be tricky without a logic app to run. Let's go around again. I must have made a typo when I entered the details. Okay, existing function app name, John's Ignite function app, transform function, John's integration account, with a pipeline. Okay, if it doesn't work this time, I'll move on. So we have a bunch of stuff we want to get through. Okay, accept the legal terms. There we go. Cross my fingers, sacrifice a few chickens. Let this thing whir away for a few seconds. And with any luck, let's see if this thing's going to work this time. Okay, just thinking about it. A horrible feeling it's going to do the same thing. Come on. Yeah, weird. Okay, so it worked that time, right. So what I should have here is a better pipeline logic app. See this great new icon that we've got for logic apps. So I open this thing up. You can see it put some other things in there as well. I put this integration account in there, but let's just have a quick look at the logic app first. I'll just open this thing up. And you'll see, you know, everything that it was doing there. It took a few seconds, right, to deploy this thing, but there's quite a lot of stuff going on. So what I have here is when I receive an HTTP request, I'm going to do a validation on the XML message that I pass in. Then I'm going to do a transformation. And if I just open these up, you can see how this works. So I can pass in the body of the HTTP request and pick a schema name that was deployed as part of that ARM template. Same with the map. It's wired up to my function app. So I can just specify the transform function and the order, the SAP order map in this case, that I'm going to run that XSLT. And then I've got a condition. This is simply all this is doing, if I just expand this out, what I'm doing here is I'm just running an XPath. And the XPath, for those of you who are not familiar with it, this is literally saying, you know, how many root nodes have I got in this document. So it's nice and generic. So they help you get started super quickly. You can pass in any valid XML document, and it's going to have a root node, and it's going to be equal to one. And it's going to go down this yes path, and it's going to send a response back. Okay. Before I try that out, the first thing I'll do is I'll grab the URL, because when you use the request trigger, you get a URL that you can post to. And I can put that in here. Here I'm using Postman. And the other nifty thing that we give you is a nice test message that you can try it out, which is back on GitHub. And let's just, if I go to the README and go up a level, but a pipeline, you see I've got an artifacts folder, and this artifacts folder I've got a sample order message. And if I take this, cut and paste this, oops, I can put this in here. Just put a bit of raw body, and I'm going to post that in. But quickly before I do that, I'll show you the integration account. And this is what this thing looks like. As I said, it's a container for artifacts. So you can see here, you know, what I'm using now is schemas and maps. So I've got one schema, I've got one map, and I'm going to pass in a message that maps that schema, in this case this order, and it's going to run the map as part of my Vetter pipeline and send the results of that mapped XML document to me back again. Okay, so if I just run that. Oh, one more thing. I mentioned parameters. So if I open up the map, you can see I can actually view this thing. I can download it, and I can update it. So I actually have, if I just quickly download this thing, I actually have another map that I'm going to update it with. You see I just downloaded that map. Where's it gone? Well, for some reason my mouse is going crazy. Yeah. So I renamed it earlier, so I won't go through this again. You can see I've got this XLT map. And if I rename this, I'll open it up in Visual Studio and show you what's going on. But first, I'll just replace this thing. In Visual Studio, all I've done is I've added a parameter to this map. So if I open this thing up, you can see that over here, I've got an XML parameter right here. I've just got date created. Now, what happens now, so I've taken that map from the GitHub repo, I've made a change, I've added a parameter to it. So what happens now when I upload that thing is if I open up the Logic app, I can see the parameters rendered. So let's go back to the Vetter pipeline, open this thing up, and now when I expand the map out, you can, interesting, it's not there. Let's try that again. Refresh this thing. Okay, I'll come back to that. Well, what you should see there is all the parameters that I specified in my XSLT all rendered in that map. And then you can fill them in and map properties from your Logic app to the XSLT. It runs the map and comes back with the data that's been put in. Okay, so if I just run this very quickly, you can see that what I should get back is the results of that Vetter pipeline mapped across, and there you go. Okay, Kevin.
All right, let's get back to the slides. You got the clicker thing?
So workflow constructs. I wanted to get into to delve into some of the capabilities that you have in workflow. The first thing you have is a trigger, and in the trigger you have this is what creates a new instance of a Logic app that you've defined. So there are a number of different ways in which you can trigger a new instance of a Logic app. The first one is by having a recurring schedule. So you can say, have this Logic app run every X hours, every 15 seconds, every 3 days, every 2 months, and you can set that up as the trigger. You can do polling for an API for a response. So you can have your trigger waiting for a particular response back from an endpoint. So if it gets a 200, that means it has content. If it's a 202, that means they don't have any content yet, and it will continue to try and pull for that that response. As part of the trigger, you can also have some trigger state. So you can do things like only give me messages that have this property where this timestamp is greater than 5 minutes ago. So, or this is the last message that I've seen. So that's a great way to not see repeats from your trigger. A request webhook. So you can have a request handler, so that's what I showed you in my sample, that you have a request trigger, so that creates an endpoint for your Logic app. So now you've exposed the URL so that people can now go ahead and invoke that handler, and it's typically used as a webhook within other applications where you take that URL and put it into their system, and then they'll call your Logic app, and a new instance will be created with each request. A webhook subscription. So you can subscribe. We follow the webhook subscription protocol, so you can create a formal webhook as your part of your Logic app, and we'll go ahead and subscribe to your service's webhook. And then anytime that service has a new message for you, it will actually call your Logic app through that webhook subscription. And finally, on demand. We have in the Logic App Designer, there's a button that says Run Trigger Now, as well as in the API, you can actually invoke a new instance of a Logic App through the Run operation on your trigger for your definition. A couple capabilities that a trigger has. One is it's called split on. So split on gives you the ability to debatch a message that's coming into your trigger. So what this does is if you call the endpoint with a collection of messages, the engine will go ahead and pull out each message and create a new instance for each message in that collection. So it's essentially a debatching of your request that comes in. And so you don't have to worry about that as the first step in your Logic App. Second one, which is coming soon, we're working on right now, is batching. So it's kind of the inverse. So what you can do is have a batch trigger where you post messages to that trigger endpoint and will collect those messages until some criteria is met. And that criteria can either be batch size, the number of messages in that batch, some time, so for 5 minutes, or you can manually flush that. Say, I'm done waiting for it to fill up. Just go ahead and start that Logic App with whatever you have as part of that batch. So that's a great corresponding work for debatch and batching, and now we can handle that for you in the Logic App. Actions. So actions are the steps within your Logic App that's going to go ahead and execute different entities. Its main responsibility is to be able to invoke other services. And there's a number of different ways that we do invocations to your services. The first one is manage connectors. Those are called API connectors inside of the language. And so we have a first-class way of understanding what those managed connectors are. You select it, and we understand how to reach that connector in our backend. The other one is app service API apps. So you can discover so if you have an API that you've created in your app service plan, which is either API app, web app, mobile app, we will discover all those that you've created with this dropdown. So if you've defined some swagger with it, we'll give you that same first-class experience that we have with our managed connectors right inside of Logic Apps. Another friend of ours is functions, so Azure Functions. John was talking about functions just earlier about how you can host your maps and the functions. But you know, as you're writing your Logic App and you get to a point, it's like, well, I just want to write a little bit of code. Functions is a great way to do that. So you can go ahead and actually inline in the Logic App, go ahead and write a function. Or if you have a library of functions that you've already created, we will go ahead and interrogate your subscription and find the functions you already have. So then you don't have to figure out, how do I call that function? We just reference it and call that function for you. So it feels like it's actually running in line, but we're actually calling the Azure Functions to run it. A really nice way to have a few lines of code that gets run from your Logic App. Then there's HTTP plus Swagger. So if we don't have a connector for you, and you don't have your own API, and you want to be able to talk to some endpoint that has their API, and if they've given you a Swagger, we give you the capability, if you point us at your Swagger, again, we'll give you that first-class experience. So you know, as you can tell, if we have Swagger, then we can give you a first-class experience for those APIs that you have, and you'll get that nice card experience that you saw, where you can just put in properties for inputs and outputs from previous steps. And then if all those other things aren't there for you, you can have direct HTTP endpoints. So we have an HTTP action, so you can just call any URL via REST, and you can pick the verb that you want to communicate with it, get, put, post, delete, and whatever you want, and pass in headers and auth and bodies for the appropriate verbs that you have for that HTTP endpoint. And we'll go ahead and do that. So everything is, as long as it's reachable from Azure, we can go ahead and call that Logic App, and you just have a different set of experiences you have depending on the accessibility you have to how you can describe that API. And finally, we have nested workflows. So when you define a workflow, you can use that workflow kind of as a component in your design. So then you have another workflow, call that workflow. It's a great way to componentize your workflow so that you don't have to repeat aspects of that logic that you have in your workflow and just call it from other workflows. And we abstract the complexities in how to make that call. We discover your workflows and just call it for you. One of the nice things about calling nested workflow as opposed to kind of manually yourself calling the HTTP endpoint from a Logic App is that we will ensure that however long it takes, the Logic App engine will wait for that to complete. as opposed to waiting for timeouts and retries that your own endpoints may have. These actions have retry policies, so there's a default built-in retry policy where if you get a failure, we will try four more times and wait 20 seconds between each request. But you can customize that retry policy. So if you know you have an endpoint that's very intermittent, or you know it has periods of downtime that last for a period of time, you can extend or shrink that retry policy, or you can turn it off. So you don't want it to retry, you just want it to fail fast and be done. There we go. Request handling. So for different types of request handling, so you know, at the beginning of your Logic app, you can have a request trigger, and you want to be able to respond to that request that comes in. So you can respond either with any status that you want, and depending on the path that it's taken, you can have some successful return, you just have a 200, or some error. You can have some 4XX value that's returned and an explanation in that body. And you can put that response anywhere in the Logic app. It doesn't have to be your last step. It could be at the very beginning. A very common pattern is that you want to be able to accept the message and then continue processing that, so then the caller can continue on and not wait for the complete Logic app to complete just until that response comes back. And you can put that anywhere you want in that Logic app. And of course, there's a webhook response. So noted, there was a webhook trigger that you could have. You could also have a webhook as an action, and that's how you can wait for some response to happen after you've made a request. And message composition. We'll get into more of these capabilities in a little bit, but we can do different types of message handling in regards to validate, and you can compose a new message by constructing one, or you can do a filter array. So if you have an array coming in, we have the ability to query out a particular value out of that, and then you can extract that element and move on with it. And finally, flow control, where you can delay until, and terminate. Terminate is one of our newer functions, so you can terminate a Logic app wherever you want. So for example, if you're doing exception handling, you can catch an exception, do some compensating work, and then finally decide to terminate it. And you can either terminate with a cancel or terminate it with a reason. Come on, there we go. Scopes. So in you know, we are a workflow engine, so we do have the ability to have different types of scopes. So you know, a scope is essentially just a collection of actions, but you can have a simple scope, which is that collection of actions. But one of the patterns you can do is with the number of steps that are in that action, then you can have compensating actions after it. You can catch an exception if any number of steps have failed in that scope. So that's a nice way to be able to have all or none as you go through your Logic app. A condition is also a scope, right? You have a number of actions that occur based on some condition that you have. You can have nested conditions within those conditions. For each. So for each allows you to iterate across a collection of items. So if you have a list and you say for each on that list, then for each item in that list, we'll execute that action inside of that for each scope against that item in that list. And finally, do until. Do until is a nice pattern to allow you to continue executing an action until a certain result comes back. So for example, you can have your own custom HP request, and you're looking for a particular response within the response code that comes back, and then you can continue trying until you get that response that you want. And there's exit criteria that includes time, so the amount of time that you're doing this do until for, and the count of iterations, which is the number of times you've tried to make that request. And finally, workflow definition functions. So this is a very short list of the functions that we have that's available inline inside of your Logic app. So in our MSDN documentation, we actually have the full list of expressions you could have. But this lets you know there are a lot of folks who aren't familiar with these kind of inline functions. And so they go ahead and call out to some service that does, hey, what's my time, and gets a time, but you don't realize you actually have UTC now, and we'll actually give you that time. So we do message formatting, we can do GUIDs, we can do string manipulation, we can do conditions, we can do XPath manipulation, we'll do probably some of that a little later, and you can check the results of a scope, you can find out each of the errors that happened within that scope, You can convert to different message types. So there's a whole slew of different built-in expressions that you can go ahead right into CodeView or into the text boxes and start writing expressions and have it work for you. These are very, very powerful and allows you not to have to write some code snippets. Now, these aren't complete, so if any time that you don't have an inline function that you want, you can always go out to Azure Functions and write your 3 or 4 lines of JavaScript code, for example, to do some of this. B2B, I'll give it back to John. Any questions? Sure. So the question was, can logic apps handle the order, delivery, and correlation? We are adding a capability that's not out yet that will ensure that you can have a singleton logic app to ensure that as messages come into a queue, for example, there's only one that's handling it to do the in-order processing. That's upcoming very soon. And what was the second question? That was order delivery. And correlation will do the same thing. For a service bus, you can correlate based on a session, and we'll add that capability so you can do session correlation and then property correlation as well. That's not there yet. Oh, no. So when I say soon, I mean like soon, like month, 2 months. This is not server land, this is cloud land. So soon means actually really soon. There you go.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, B2B. Okay, so I've talked about the integration account already, and I've shown how you can use it to store schemas and maps for doing XML validation and transformation. But there's more to the integration account than just that. We have trading partner management capabilities built into the integration account as well. So I can create trading partners, and I can create agreements. And the agreements, I can specify which protocol I want to do message exchanges using between those two partners. So that'll be, right now we have Edifact X12 and AS2. And it's extensible as well, so you can actually add your own metadata to the artifacts that you put in the integration account. So this is a way of storing configuration along with the data that you create and upload into your integration account, which is really useful. Imagine like for trading partners, it's a lot of information you may want to store with the trading partner besides just the protocol specific stuff. You may want to store names and addresses and contact details and everything else. And we have a way of being able to specify metadata there. And coming really soon, we'll have the full UI. I'm going to show you that in a second that lets you actually do that in the portal to add metadata and then consume metadata dynamically from your logic apps as well. And of course, because all of this is modern REST-based, JSON-based architecture, we have a full API for this, including PowerShell support, Visual Studio support, and the integration account is designed to be secure, scalable, and manageable with all of these APIs and management capabilities. Okay. A few things. I just mentioned the first two or three of these. There are a couple of things I wanted to call out. Today, we have this process wrapped up in these protocols, X12 and AS2 and Edifact, for doing partner resolution. So the way this works, if you just take AS2 as an example, is when I receive an AS2 message, I need to figure out who it's from. And the AS2 action actually does that work. And based on the headers that come in, because it's HTTP-based, it figures out, looking at the integration account, the from and to partners to find the agreement, and then the settings on that agreement. And that's all wrapped up in this partner resolution. So some work we're doing is to actually break these apart a little bit, because there are cases where you may actually want to do some work on the message before you process it, before you decode it. In AS2 or one of the other protocols. So we're actually adding that at the moment. Some work that we're doing, again, in the near term, in the coming weeks, will allow you to actually decouple partner resolution from message decoding so that you can actually maybe fix up the message if you know that the partner sends something in a slightly different way that doesn't quite adhere to your expectations with the protocol. You'll be able to do that. Another thing that we're working on really hard at the moment is a tracking portal for B2B. So we're using Ops Management Suite as a basis for this, and this gives you a full management experience and operational management, alerting, and everything else for all of the data that we pump out of logic apps, all the B2B information, the acknowledgements, and everything else, so that you can manage that. And I'll show that in a second as well. And then the final thing is batching, which is coming really soon. The ability to be able to send messages to a batch and then release that batch, really common with EDI, and the batching capabilities that I talked about earlier, the EDI actions are based on top of those as well. Here's what metadata looks like. There's two sides to this. On an integration account artifact, like a trading partner, I can specify metadata. I can set that as basically a large JSON object. I can put my own configuration in there, my own lookup information. And then at runtime, I have an action, the integration account artifact lookup. I give it the artifact type and the name of that type, and I can pull that metadata out at runtime and use it as essentially a configuration store to make decisions about what I do in my logic app. Maybe you have a highly dynamic setup in the logic app where you actually want to make a determination of which trading partner you're going to be sending it to based on the trading partner it came from with the configuration against that trading partner. And this really facilitates all of that. And then you can obviously consume in subsequent steps all the details that come back from the integration account artifact. Okay. Hybrid integration. So we touched on this really briefly at the beginning. Kevin talked about the ability to connect from on-premise to the cloud. We have a number of connectors that we've shipped, and there's another one coming really soon that I'm going to show in a second, which is file connectivity. For your Logic Apps, long-time Logic App users, you've seen this capability that we had prior to a bunch of architectural changes and enhancements that we made. So the ability to be able to connect to a file system or even network shares on-premises through the file connector, as well as the BizTalk connector that we have, as well as SQL Server on-premises, as well as DB2 and Infomix and MQ Series. All of these things use our on-premises data gateway. So this is a shared piece of technology across all of our assets, Power Apps, Flow, and Power BI, as well as Logic Apps. And there's two pieces to this. You can actually download the gateway, and you install the gateway on a machine on-premises. It uses the relay to connect up to the cloud, so there's no messing around with having to open a firewall. There's no inbound connections coming from the internet. It connects out. And then you can create a connection in Azure, and this then lets you consume that connection against the connector that you want to use, whether it's SQL Server or file or whatever else, and consume that connection from a Logic App, and then move data between the two, from on-prem to the cloud or vice versa. And once you've created one of these connections, you can reuse them across different Logic Apps as well. So the on-premise data gateway wraps up a whole bunch of things in a really easy to consume way and a really easy to manage way and a securable way that you create this pipe between the two. So again, I've done a couple of demonstrations around how you do this with BizTalk, where of course you probably don't want to expose BizTalk to the internet using the on-premise data gateway or SQL databases for that matter. You don't just want to put these things on the internet. You can use the on-prem data gateway to enable you to create a secure kind of pipe connection between the two without having to put your assets on the internet from on-premises. Okay, and then coming soon, we have SAP coming soon. We're working really hard on this, the ability to be able to connect to SAP systems both on-premises or wherever else you may have hosted them. It really doesn't matter. The data gateway is optional, so you can connect to SQL Server in the cloud, you can in IaaS, you can connect to SQL Azure, you can connect to SQL Server on-premises using the gateway. It's up to you. Very flexible way of connecting to everything you've got wherever it is. And the other one is file, which I just mentioned, which is the ability to connect to your file system on-premises and read and write data from file system. Okay, so let's connect a few of these things together. Can you press rate? Thanks. Okay, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to give a demonstration of AS2 as well as a file connector, as well as a bunch of things that Kevin showed in the previous slides and kind of looping constructs and everything else. So I have a new integration account I've created. So if I'm going to use AS2, I need a couple of partners, right? I need to know who I'm doing business from and to. So I can just put in Contoso here. Because it's AS2, I have this sort of qualifier drop down, and this is across Edifact and X12 as well as AS2. So you see all the things in terms of the identified values that you need to set for that partner party resolution to work. In this
Wait
case,
a minute, are you going to do EDI on the fly?
I am.
Oh, wow.
I know. I'm crazy.
You're crazy. How many have built EDI solutions before? How long does that take you? There you go.
It might take me 2 years. We'll see how it goes.
We have the party tonight, John.
I know. I can see people eager to do that. Right. So I just created a couple of partners, Contoso and Fabrican, our favorite companies. And then I created an agreement. An agreement is the association, the relationship between these two partners. So I can just call this Contoso to Fabrican. It's AS2, and I can set a host partner of Contoso, the host identity of Contoso. This is the data that comes in the HTTP header or goes out over the HTTP header to the training partner. And I can set a guest partner of the other guy, Fabricam. And I have a bunch of other things I can set around acknowledgement. So AS2 is a protocol that allows things like non-repudiation, allows signing of data so that it's sent securely, it's encrypted. And I can also, the other artifact in the integration account is certificates. So I can upload certificates. We have Key Vault integration to keep the private keys secure. And we pull that out at runtime and sign messages using the certificates that you can manage holistically as part of the integration account. But I'm just going to accept the defaults for that in the interest of time. So I created the agreement, and there it is. Right. Okay, so the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new logic app. And I'm just going to do an HTTP request here. This will become obvious in a moment why I'm doing that. And when I add an action, I can specify AS2. You can see I've got decode and encode, so receive and send. So I'm going to send this out over AS2. And when I do this, I will give this thing a connection name, John's Ignite Demo, and specify an integration account, which is the one I just created here. Is John's Ignite integration account. Here we go. Right there. I just got to set this up so it can actually pull data from that integration account. And now I have AS2 from and to, so I can specify I'm going from Contoso, which is me, to the trading partner, which is Fabricam. Oops. And then I can specify the body. So this is the HTTP request coming in. This is going to come from somewhere else, and this is actually going to come from the file system. So, and the next thing I need to do is I need to send this out over HTTP. So I'm just going to make an HTTP request, and I'm going to post this data, and I'm going to specify the body of the content of the AS2 action. Let's just check anything else I need. I need a URL, so I'm going to send something else. I'm just going to request bin for this. So this just gives me a URL endpoint that I can hit with these messages. So it's just come back to here, and I can paste in the URL, and I can save this down. And I have a logic app. As Kevin said, this is a level 300 session, so we really just want to hit you with everything that's possible with this. So I've got a new logic app. Let me just grab the URL of this, because I'm actually going to now call this from another logic app. So let's just sort of wind back up the stack here. I've got another logic app here, which is going to use the new file connector to connect to the file system on premises, actually on my machine here from Azure. And I've got this get file content. Actually, let's go up another level. So it's actually going to do a list files first from the folder on premises. So this list files action is actually going to look at this guy here. I've got three files sitting in a file folder. And you can see that these have got orders in them. So we've got Jeff, John, and Kevin, and the details of each of the items, backpacks, T-shirts. You've had hopefully your full share of these things this week at Ignite. So I'm going to pick up each one of these files individually, and then I'm going to do a for each over that because I get an array back from that folder listing operation with a file connector. And that for each is going to call the second one that I just showed you quickly, get the file content. So I'm going to pass the name of each file, get the file content, and then do another for each, extracting the order root node from those messages and sending it to the logic app I just created. Kevin's looking at his watch. I need to talk faster. And I'm just going to do an HTTP request to that second logic app. Now, I might not do it like this in a couple of weeks' time because the reason I'm kind of HTTP posting these things around is because we have these things in our internal environment, and the easiest way to get between them is using HTTP. I should just be able to create one logic app that actually did the AS2 send from here. So, and then I just provide the body, which is the file content, and I should be good to go. So if I save that guy down. Right, so three logic apps. The first one connects using a file connector on-prem, gets a bunch of files. There's three files in that folder, spins over each file, and calls a second logic app, passing the file name. The second logic app reads the file using the same file connector, the same connection that I created earlier, pulls the file content out, extracts using XPath the root node of that order, and then sends it over AS2 to the URL that I provided.
Easy.
Easy, yeah. So, and I've just got a recurrence on this thing. So that means I can run it on a schedule, it actually runs once an hour, or I can just kick it off straight away, which is what I'm going to do here. And this is going to whir away for a few seconds as it picks these files up. And it's just keep refreshing this, and it will take.
I love that refresh button.
I love that refresh button. It's better than F5.
Yes. It's done.
Okay, and it's done. So it says it said it worked, right? Actually, let's not do that. So if I go over to request bin and says refresh this page to see what happened, and you can see I've got one file here, all raw body AES2 encoded, got another file here, and then I've got a third one here. So it's picked up every single one of these files on-prem, gone through them all, read the content, and sent it out of AES2, and I built it all on stage, and it worked. So this is... Okay.
You're an EDI hero.
Yeah, this is just so much easier, as Kevin said, than it used to be. Like, being able to build these things in minutes, using the connectivity, using the on-prem data gateway to be able to connect to any of your assets, wherever they are, and pull the data out of them and send it somewhere else is a game changer for what we're doing in Logic Apps.
Still you.
Okay, is it still me?
Yep.
Go ahead, try.
I know we're standing in between you guys and the event later, so I appreciate everybody staying around. So I talked about templates already. We actually have other templates here. So we have these quick start templates in GitHub, and you can see how you can take those and deploy them directly to your subscription. Just typing it incorrectly and hitting the button works better than typing it incorrectly and hitting the button, as you saw. Very quickly stand these things up. We also have AES2 in that quick start template. We create even more stuff, two AES2 sender and receiver logic apps. Because we really want you guys to get started super fast on this and understand how it all works. So please check out those GitHub templates with the full documentation of how it works. You can get two logic apps, one sending, one receiving, send the acknowledgements back, asynchronously or synchronously. So it's very easy to get started. But we also have the templates when you create a new logic app as well. You can see we've got the Vetter pipeline one here as well. So even without doing the GitHub, which gives you the advantage of creating an integration account and putting a bunch of test data in there for you, you can create one from scratch in directly in the portal in the designer as well. And we have a whole bunch of a growing list of templates that let you very easily kind of create these patterns, these enterprise integration patterns, super easily from the designer. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. So, I showed you in the ability to go ahead and look at the triggers that are fired. So inside the portal, for every time your trigger fires, you see a trigger history. You can go ahead and interrogate that trigger history to see what's happened. It's either skipped because there's no data, you got a 202, or you got a message that came in. So then you can look at that content of that message. And then for each run that's executed, you'll see an actual run. So then that run history will show you the pieces of data. As you go ahead and do that. So if I look at, let me go switch over. Running out of time, but that's okay.
2 minutes.
Yeah, is that working? 8. 7. 7, there you go. So if I look at the portal, you get to see here are my triggers that are fired, and here's the runs that have executed. And if I look at the run, I get to see a nice monitoring view that shows me the exact shape of the logic app that I have. And then so you can see all the steps and drill into each of those steps and see what's happened within each of those steps. So then you can get, for any one of those steps, you can get the run details for that step so that you can get, let's open that up. So then you can see all the details that's happened and what's either went wrong or what went well. This is obviously more helpful when something goes wrong. You can find that step that failed and look at the detailed information. And so all this is available to you right in the portal, and you can see which path this takes. And especially as you have more and more complex logic apps, this will really help you out in trying to figure out the path that it took and what went wrong. So that's the monitoring view, and then we have diagnostics and alerts so that you can go ahead and set alerts in case a logic app fails. You can get alerted and see what the history of all your logic apps are doing for the diagnostics and alerts. got 25 seconds.
Okay, right. 25 seconds, 19 seconds. So we push out a lot of event data out of Logic Apps today. And we have Azure Monitoring, which was announced on Monday. It's very, you know, lets you very easily see what's going on in the Logic Apps that you create. We emit core tracking events for each action. As Kevin said, the data is persisted, so we'd never lose anything. And you can see the inputs and outputs of each one of these actions. And you can keep that in storage. You can send that to Event Hub and then create dashboards in Power BI, do a whole bunch of interesting things. We also have something called Track Properties, which lets you add your own data as well and write out, you know, information that you're interested in and pushing that to storage and Event Hub too. But as I mentioned earlier, we also have coming soon. Again, I hate using that word, but it is coming soon. The Ops Management Suite solution that we're building for B2B. So we understand that, you know, at scale, when you're dealing with hundreds or thousands of trading partners with hundreds or thousands or millions of messages, you need to be able to see what's going on at a larger scale. Actually, you know, making sure you can pay attention to what's important. So we're building on OMS to provide a full-blown management solution. And this will be configured from your integration account to enable this. And it also have a tracking API so you can actually push data from outside of Logic Apps and track that too. The tracking API will let you, for example, push data in using the API from maybe on-premises or from somewhere else. In a full end-to-end. Maybe you will augment your SAP system to write out through the tracking API that then calls a Logic App. Logic App then does some work, maybe calls a function, maybe calls the custom API app, augment that with tracking, and then that will call out to something else, maybe another service, and see full end-to-end tracking with this capability. So just a sneaky peek of what we're doing with OMS. This is sort of the overall OMS in a high-level view, single pane of glass. And you can see you have a Logic Apps B2B tile, and this shows you, you know, very quickly at a glance kind of what the health of the B2B business is, you know, which ones have failed, which ones have succeeded and running, and then kind of drill down. We have two or three levels of drill down with this. You see the top partners by error. You can click on a partner and drill down into that. You can see by protocol, AS2, Edifact, and AS12 right now, you can see what's going on, and then drill down each one of those and find quickly where the problem is. So going right from a summarization view, along with everything else going on in your enterprise, and then drilling all the way down and finding and fixing problems as quickly as possible. Okay. Visual Studio. One of the other things that for those of you who looked at Logic Apps, probably aware of this, but one of the other things we wanted to call out is we also have Visual Studio integration for Logic Apps. This gives you the ability not just to be able to create Logic Apps in the Ibiza portal, in the designer, but also create them in Visual Studio. Remember, everything's is a template. This gives you the ability to check these things in, to manage them all from your favorite development tools, Visual Studio, and using the full application lifecycle you're used to, so that you can easily version, manage, and integrate with your deployment processes. Things like continuous integration, continuous deployment, and also the ability to configure the integration account against that Logic App, so you can build Logic Apps in Visual Studio, you know, for EDI, for XML mapping, and everything else, all in Visual Studio. And the other part of that is the ability to create maps and schemas and flat file schemas, so you can actually take a flat file using the wizard, create an XML flat file schema, and then upload that to your integration account and kind of manage all of this from Visual Studio.
And for those who are familiar with BizTalk, these are the same tools that you have in BizTalk,
yeah.
And now we are supporting them in Logic Apps.
2015. No, this is
2015,
yeah.
Current version.
Yes. Okay, we're out of time, so just a little bit on what's next. Follow us on Twitter, try Logic Apps out. We have a monthly webcast where we talk about everything that we're doing, all the new stuff we're working on, try to give people as early access as possible in terms of everything that's going on. Get answers from our blog. What else? So we have a monthly newsletter. I encourage you to sign up for that, and you can get all the goodness that's going on in Microsoft integration across Logic Apps and API management and BizTalk Server and a bunch of other things. So appreciate your time. Thanks for staying late.
Yeah, thank
thanks
you.
Very much.